Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles back to Mark chapter 12. We're continuing, of course, our study of this last week, the final week of Jesus' life before he goes to the cross and dies and rises again. It's basically Tuesday is like we would say. As he came in on Sunday and kind of entered the city on this triumphal entry and then left and came back on Monday and cleansed the temple. And now he's back again. He's teaching and being confronted by religious leaders. And, of course, the plan is they want him to do something wrong. That's what their plan. They want him to make a mistake. They fail every time. We've been seeing this series of confrontations, and we're going to see them all in chapter 12, these confrontations where they're seeking to somehow, if they could get Jesus where he didn't look right, if he just did something, that's what they're thinking. We saw, of course, last time they came and said, is it lawful to pay taxes? And Jesus, of course, dealt with that, and we saw that. This evening, the issue is resurrection. What happens to people after they die? What about the body, and what about the soul and the spirit? We're going to see the Sadducees come and they actually make fun of resurrection. We're going to see how Jesus answers. We want to understand from this passage the aspect of life after death. We've got some things we'll look at on an overhead, and we just want to realize the importance of Jesus Christ's resurrection and the whole issue of resurrection, and we'll see it as he teaches tonight. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a great night. Thank you for that beautiful song and just all of the songs that we got to sing tonight. Thank you that we can focus on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we never want to take for granted what Jesus did and how he became a human being and died on the cross to pay for our sins and took our sins in his body and he paid the penalty and he died and he was buried and he rose again. And the offer to all human beings is eternal life simply by faith. Thank you, Lord. It's not by works of righteousness we've done, but it's according to your mercy that you save us. It's by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. We thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him, and there's no other name given under heaven among men but whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. It is that simple and that true. Lord, thank you for your grace. We never take for granted. We never want to take for granted, Lord, your grace to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you tonight that as we look at Mark chapter 12 and as we see this last week of Jesus and the confrontation and the Sadducees coming and this whole issue, that you would teach us and we'd be able to make application in our lives. Lord, thank you for also tonight the privilege of remembering the death and resurrection of our Savior. Lord, we ask you that you teach us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the question is there life after death? There's a question a lot of people ask. Most cultures and religions admit there's more to it than this life. Pascal said there's this God-shaped vacuum in all people, and we long for more. We long for life after this. We think about there are different groups. We realize that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that it says that God has put eternity in our hearts. And we know that there's something more than this, that there's something beyond this life just because there's eternity in our lives. There are Eastern religions always come up with things like reincarnation. And you know that when you die, you're reincarnated into something else, and there's this cycles of universe. And then the Greeks, of course, used to think that the body was evil, but the soul continued on, and the body was evil, and soul just kept going on and off, and there was life after death. Now, I want you to realize something, that resurrection and life after death are not exactly the same thing. Life after death is a continuance of the soul. The Greeks taught that the soul went on, but the body didn't. Resurrection is raising of the body. When the Bible talks about resurrection, it's not talking about just the soul or the spirit going on. It's talking about a physical resurrection of the body. You remember when Paul was on Mars Hill in Athens and they laughed at him because he talked about the resurrection of the body. There were some people who said, this guy's nuts. And the other people said, I'd like to hear more about this, because he talked about Jesus dying and rising again and that there'd be a resurrection. Even among Jews, which seems sort of strange, but even among the Jews, there were groups who denied the resurrection of the body. One of those groups were the Sadducees. And we used to have this joke that say, see, they were sad, you see, because they didn't understand about resurrection. But the Sadducees denied the resurrection. They denied angels. Well, this evening, the group of Sadducees approach Jesus. They come to him, in a sense, making fun. They make fun of two things. They make fun of the Bible, and then they make fun of resurrection. They're hoping somehow to discredit Jesus. Well, let me break down the passage for you. We're going to look at verses 18 through 27. 18 through 23, they come with the question about a marriage story and about what they call the levirate law of marriage. And we'll talk about it. In fact, we'll turn back to the Old Testament to real quickly look at this. But that was the issue. And they asked this, and they talked about in the resurrection, whose wife will it be and all of this. But what Jesus says plainly in verses 24 through 27 is, you don't really understand because you don't know the power of God and you don't know the Bible. That's a pretty strong thing to say to the religious leaders. You don't know the Bible and you don't know the power of God. That was pretty embarrassing to them. He talks about what God's like. As we begin, let's raise the question of concerning resurrection. Is there life after death? And why is resurrection so important? And why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? Well, here come the Sadducees. And they're religious leaders, and they've been confronting Jesus. Think about it. The first thing that they did, not just necessarily Sadducees, but the religious leaders came up and said, they questioned his authority. They said, who gives you the right to cleanse out the temple and do those sort of things? And we saw him answer to me. He just flat out said, let me ask you this. If you'll tell me something about John the Baptist, I'll tell you the authority. And of course, they wouldn't, and he wouldn't. And then we saw the parable of how Jesus talked about the religious leaders actually were rejecting Jesus Christ, and that made them really mad. And then we saw last week the question about paying taxes. And now here comes some Pharisees and some Herodians. We've already seen the Pharisees and the Herodians have been silenced by Jesus. So here come the Sadducees, and they want to discredit Jesus. Look at verse 18. It says, now Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and began teaching him, saying. Now remember the Sadducees. There were different sects, different groups that day. There were the Pharisees, which kept the law. They were very strict. They thought that by keeping the law, somehow they would get to God. There were a lot of Pharisees. There was a large group of them, and they were pretty powerful in the Sanhedrin, which is made up of 70 people. The Pharisees made up the most number in that group, and so they were pretty powerful. But then there was another group called the Sadducees, and they were what, in our sense, we might even call them a little bit on the liberal side. They didn't hold to supernatural things. You realize they did not believe in resurrection. They did not believe in angels. Now, can you imagine a group of Jewish people who've had the Bible and all this saying that they don't believe there's angels and they don't believe in resurrection? They were the richer group. Most of the priests, now get this, most of the priests were the Sadducees. So the priests of Jesus' day did not believe in angels or resurrection. Well, the question. The Sadducees who, and of course, Mark wants us to make sure we understand. He says, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and began questioning him, saying. And they're not coming to him to ask him a legitimate question. You know, you can tell when somebody came to Jesus and they really needed help or wanted something, he always helped them. But you notice in life, there would be people who we'd call them sinners. And Jesus loved them because they reach out to him, like the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery and all of this. But religious leaders who thought they were better, who thought that getting to God was by their good works, and boy, Jesus challenged them every time. Well, these religious leaders have come up to Jesus, and they're not really asking a question to see if they can learn something. They're asking a question so that, actually, they're asking a silly question. And they're hoping that Jesus will look foolish by trying to answer it. So look what they say. Verse 19. Teacher, and they call him teacher, rabbi. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife and leaves no child, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. Now, they're saying something that's exactly right. When they say Moses wrote for us, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's called the Torah, T-O-R-I-H, which means the law. And this group held. In fact, think about it. The Sadducees as a whole did not hold to the first five books of the Bible. So they're just saying, well, now here's what Moses said. And they quote Deuteronomy, basically 25 verses 5 and 6. And it said this, that when a guy gets married, and if he dies before they have any children, there was a thing called the levirate law of marriage, was that one of his brothers was to marry his brother's wife who's now died. And so when they have children, they basically name that child after the brother who died. So the family name continues on. So that's why if you had an older brother and he got married, you checked it out before he got married, because there's a possibility if he dies, you got to marry her, right? You're going, no, don't marry her. Don't marry her. Or at least take your vitamins, because, I mean, you know, I don't want anything to happen to you. I want you to see, just turn over to Deuteronomy just for a second. The fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 25. I want you to see this. Just bottom line, here's what it says. I'll give everybody just time to get there. Fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy 25, and he's given these different laws, basically. And here's what he says, verse 5. When brothers live together, one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not marry outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her to himself as wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of the dead brother, so that his name will be not blotted out from Israel. Now, go back to Mark 12, and what you realize that there were some penalties. If you wouldn't do it, if you said, I'm not marrying her, then there would be this legal thing, and the woman could spit in your face. You had to take your shoe off. It was just some kind of all these rituals, and so then you became known as the man with one shoe. Because you wouldn't marry up your brother. You wouldn't marry your brother's wife and carry on his name. It was called the Levirate Law of Marriage. That's what it was called. So they come to Jesus and they know this is true. And so they say, Teacher, verse 19, Moses wrote that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife and leaves no child, his brother should marry the wife and raise up children to his brother. That's true. Well, fine. Do you realize that was what was involved in the whole idea of Ruth and Boaz? And the law of the kinsman redeemer and all of that. That's why one of the men that was the first in line to marry Ruth wouldn't marry her, because he said, I didn't want to mess up his inheritance, because he didn't want to have a child and have to name him after the original dad. And all, he didn't want to do that. Well, what does the Bible say? What happens? They said, let me tell you a story, Jesus. What would you do in this situation? You know, people sometimes come to you and they make up these stories that are just really pretty wild and trying to trick people with the Bible. Well, they're trying to trick Jesus with the Bible. And so they said, there were seven brothers. And the first one took a wife and died, leaving no children. So the second one married her. And gosh, he died, leaving behind no children. And then third guy in line did the same thing and he died. And so all seven left no children. And last of all, the woman died. Also, so, wow, that's a weird story. What's the chances of that happening? But they said, it happened. Now, Jesus, what's going to happen? Now, what's their question? I mean, they all, biblically speaking, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Now, watch. In the resurrection. Now, you realize Sadducees don't believe in what? Resurrection. So they're playing a game. They're saying, now, in the resurrection, which we don't really believe in, but in the resurrection, Jesus, when they rise again, which one's wife will she be? For all seven had married her. That's a pretty tricky question, isn't it? They're trying to trap him. This is a silly question. And you know the crowd is all gathered around. They've been gathered around watching Jesus deal with these religious leaders. And of course, we said they'd like lined up and Jesus will say something and they'll walk away going, whose idea was it this? And they walk away and the next group goes up. The crowd is getting great joy out of seeing these religious leaders who they don't really like get caught by Jesus. So they're out there saying, oh, how's Jesus going to answer this one? They want to trap him. Because see, they want to say, really, there's not any resurrection. But what does Jesus say? Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you're mistaken? What's the reason you're not? What's the reason you're mistaken? Look what he says. That you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God. Boy, that is a powerful statement, because he answers it very simply to them. He says, you don't know the Bible and you don't know the power of God. Now, to a religious leader, one who was supposed to be better than the average person, the person that, you know, they'd say, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious leaders, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, or you will not enter the kingdom of God, and all of these things. And so the people looked at these, and when Jesus looks at them and says, you know what your problem is? You don't know the Bible and you don't know the power of God. It's pretty embarrassing for someone who's supposed to be a religious leader, who's supposed to know the Word, to be told by Jesus, you don't know the Bible and you don't know God's power. That's his answer, and it's very simple. Now, You're deceiving yourself. In fact, the way verse 24 says it, Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you're mistaken? And literally the way it says is this not the reason you are deceiving yourself by coming up with such a stupid thing? Because you don't know God's word and you don't know God's power. Let me tell you, if we're going to have victory in our lives, we must know the word of God and we must know the power of God. Because the only way we live the Christian life, it is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the power of God, based on the Word of God. That's why it's so important. You must know the Word, you must know His power in you. And so if you're going to have victory in the Christian life, you walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Scripture. And that's why he looks at them and says, you don't know God's power, you don't know the Word of God. Now look what his answer is. He says, for when they rise from the dead, and they will, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Now, he's dealing with the husband and wife, and he's talking about in their resurrection. He says, when they rise from the dead. And he's talking about that there's going to be a bodily resurrection, and there is. You remember at this time, there's this whole world, this Greek and Roman world that says body pretty much is evil. Epicureanism, people say, you know, body's evil, and what's going to happen? Man, you just, you know, that's going to go, but your soul's going to go on and on. But true scriptural, biblical truth said the body is what's going to be raised from the dead and go on forever. Soul as well, soul and spirit. I mean, what do you think it's going to be like when you're in the 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ? You're going to have this body. It won't wear out. It's going to be probably taller and things like that. But it's going to be a body that will never wear out. Jesus said, is this not the reason you're deceiving yourself? You're mistaken. You don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. See, when they rise from the dead, and they will, they neither marry nor given in marriage, but they're like angels. In the future resurrection, there's no marriage. See, I want you to understand this. This is a dig on them because he says they are like who? Angels? Do they believe in angels either? No, they don't. See, he's already said there will be resurrection, which you don't believe in, and there will be angels, which you don't believe in, because the truth is you don't know God's power and you don't know God's word. Now, I want you to notice he didn't say they will be angels. We're not angels who get our wings. We're human beings. They're angelic beings, human beings, and divine being. That's God himself. Then there are human beings that he's made. Then there's angelic beings that he has made. We don't become angels. But it says we're like angels in regard to marriage and giving in marriage, because in the resurrection, people will not marry. Why? Because there's no need. There's no death after that. There's no need to make more people, so to speak. And he said, you don't know the Bible because in the future, there's not any marriage. Don't you understand the scripture? Not an issue of whose wife it's going to be. Nobody's wife is she going to be. But then there's a second thing, and this is the key. He says, you don't know the power of God. You don't know God's power. God has the power to do what? To raise the dead. And I love what he says here. Watch this next part in verse 26. He says, but regarding the fact that the dead rise again, have you not read in the book of Moses? See, they quoted what book? The books of Moses, first five books. He said, haven't you read in the books of Moses? Basically, the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now watch what he says. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly mistaken. You're greatly deceived. He said, haven't you read in the Bible, that's Exodus chapter 3, about Moses going by the burning bush? And you remember that Moses was out in the backside of the desert and he saw a bush, and he saw the bush and he said, you know, that bush is burning, but it's not burning up. It's just burning. That's pretty amazing. I think I'll step over there and see what's going on. And as he stepped over there, of course, God spoke to him and said, Moses, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. And so he took off his shoes and he said, who are you? And he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't say, I am the God of those who used to be in existence, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right now. See, he says, he's not the God of the dead. Is Abraham alive? Is he? What's he waiting for? The resurrection of his body. Where is his body? Where is Abraham's body? Anybody know? Well, there's a place that's buried in the cave of Machpelah. It's in Israel. His body's there. So was Isaac's and Jacob. He says, I'm the God of the living. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. What is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel and David? What are they waiting for? The resurrection of the what? The body. And all of us who have had loved ones who knew Jesus Christ as Savior and they died, where is their body? Where is it? It's in the grave. Where is their soul and spirit? With Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're alive. We say, well, they died. Well, they died physically. Their body died. Where is their soul and spirit? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We act like they're gone. Well, sure, they're gone. They're just not here. They're with Jesus. Paul said to live as Christ and to die is gain. It's a lot better to die, because if you die, where are you? With Jesus. That's what he said. We don't look at it that way. We go, I don't know. He said, you don't even understand. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. You don't understand. He says, you are greatly mistaken. And literally in the Greek, it says, you are deceiving yourself. Right in front of all this crowd, Jesus looked at the religious leaders and said, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the power of God. If you knew the Bible, you'd realize that when people are raised from the dead, they don't marry and give it in marriage. So your question's a stupid question. And second, you don't understand the power of God, because you have to realize that they're not dead. God is the God of living. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You don't understand the power of God. He's going to raise from the dead. You don't believe in angels. You don't believe in resurrection. But you better. Is every human being going to be raised from the dead? Yes, because Jesus Christ has conquered death in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and he conquered death. And every human being is going to be raised from the dead. And some will be raised from the dead to be with Jesus forever. And that is called eternal life. And some are going to be raised from the dead to be separated from God forever because they didn't believe in Jesus as their Savior. And that's called the second death, or the lake of fire. Eternal separation. Now let's think about resurrection for just a second. We'll end with this, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper and remember. Both in the Old Testament and New Testament, resurrection is taught clearly. You think back to the book of Job. In Job chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, Job raises this question when he's going through all the problems. He said, will a man rise again when they die? He says, you know, we know that a tree, sometimes they cut down a tree and then some water comes and all of a sudden some branches and stuff come back out. And so the tree looks like it's dead, but it lives. Well, if a man dies, will they live again? And then later on in Job 19, he says, yes, we will. I know in this body I will stand on this earth and see my Redeemer. That's what Job said. That's a long time ago when Job said that. All the dead will be raised. Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, every person will be raised. You know, the Bible talks about two resurrections. There's the first resurrection, the second resurrection. And the first resurrection includes different parts, because in 1 Corinthians 15 it says, Christ the first fruits, and then each one in their order. And I didn't bring the chart for tonight, but do you realize in the first resurrection, the first one to rise in the first resurrection is Jesus, followed by the church, which is the body of Christ. We'll be raised from the dead when Jesus Christ comes in the cloud. The third group that rises from the dead in the first resurrection is the Old Testament and tribulation saints who die physically. When Jesus comes in the second coming, they will be raised from the dead. That's all called the first resurrection. Christ the first fruits, then us, then the Old Testament and tribulation saints. Then there will be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And if you read in the book of Revelation, it says, blessed and holy who has a part in the first resurrection. Then he says, and those in the second resurrection, they will be raised after the 1,000 years. And the second resurrection of those who have never believed in Jesus, they will be raised to stand before what is called the great white throne judgment. It's Revelation chapter 20. And they will be then separated. Their names are not found written in the book of life, and they're not, because it's by faith. They'll be separated from God forever. Jesus Christ taught in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Mark at least four times that he's going to Jerusalem, that he's going to be handed over to the religious leaders. He'll be put to death, handed over to the Romans, then put to death, and then rise again. Death and resurrection. Let me raise this question for us just sort of to end this part. But Why is resurrection so important? Let me put it this way. If there's no resurrection, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, what's so important? I don't know if you can see this or not. If you don't, I'll go quickly and fast and loud and all that so you can get it. But the first thing, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus isn't God. If Jesus Christ did not die on the cross and then be buried and rise again, if there isn't the resurrection of Christ, then he's not God. Understand that. The second thing is that our faith is worthless. What we believe is worthless. 1 Corinthians 15 says we're believing in vain. We're believing in somebody who didn't rise again. The third thing, if there's no resurrection, we're false witnesses. We're telling people that Jesus died and rose again. If he didn't die and rise again, we're not telling the truth. The fourth thing, there is no payment for sin. See, a lot of people think, well, Jesus died and paid for sin. He did. He died on the cross and paid for sin, but the resurrection shows that the payment was successful. If he didn't rise from the dead, there is no payment for sin. In fact, Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, if there is no resurrection, you are still in your sins. Payment has not been made. The fifth thing, if there's no resurrection, there is no salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 18 says, of all people, we're the most to be pitied because there's nothing but this. There is no salvation if there's no resurrection. And then last but not least, there is no hope. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. We have no hope. But you know what's so great about 1 Corinthians 15? It says, but Christ has been raised from the dead. And so, he is God. Romans 1, 4 says, declares that he is the Son of God by his resurrection of the dead. And our faith is valid. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, by grace we're saved through faith. And which faith is valid. And we proclaim the truth. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We get to tell people the truth that Jesus is indeed the Savior. That the sin payment has been made. He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, he paid the penalty for sin for all men for all time. Salvation is for the whole world. There is no salvation. Well, there is salvation for the whole world. That's why the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Salvation is for the whole world. And finally, we have the hope of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55 talks about there's the hope and we have this great, the resurrection, and we look forward to eternal life, and this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption. We have all of that. And so there is hope. And so when we think about the resurrection of Christ, it is the most important thing. He died and rose again, conquering death, giving life. Jesus taught to these religious leaders that there is a resurrection, that they didn't know the Bible, and they didn't know the power of God. My prayers will understand the resurrection truths from the Word. What are we saying? And well, let me give you a couple applications, what we've seen, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. The first thing we've seen is they questioned Jesus about resurrection, and the answer was, is you guys don't really know the Bible or God's power, because in resurrection there is no marriage, and God's power is the fact that he's the God of the living and not the dead. And we saw the importance of Christ's resurrection. A couple of applications. First one is this. Note what the Bible says about resurrection. Now, I went over it really, really fast about the two resurrections. And sometimes when I teach this, I've got a chart that shows the first resurrection and the parts of that, and then the kingdom part, and then the second resurrection. But it'd be good. If you want more information, come by the office and I'll give it to you. But study the Scripture. Know how it fits together. Jesus said to them, you don't know the Bible. Well, we wouldn't want him to say that to us, would we? You don't know the Bible? Well, yeah, I guess I hadn't studied it. We should study it. We should be able to dig it and put it together. The passage in 2 Timothy, which is the Wanna verse, study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. We need to diligently search the Scripture. Spurgeon said this, we must not be content with having a superficial reading of the Bible, but we must seek out the meaning of the Word. This morning, this passage this morning in Romans, we could not study that passage with a superficial reading. We had to dig it pretty deep to be able to put that together. And I think, John, isn't that what you told me after church? That it took, you have to dig that passage to put it together. And it's powerful. Let's know what the Bible has to say about resurrection. I think if we really understood that in reality, that our life is like a dot This whole life is a dot, and then eternal life is the line that goes on forever. And we're so concerned about the little dot that we don't realize this is just nothing compared to eternity with Jesus Christ. And so we spend all our time worrying about the dot instead of living for the eternal things which God has for us. John Lars said this. He said, I've seen so many church members just going through the motions because they don't get it. They just don't understand the resurrection. Study it and know it. Second is, let's know the power of God. See, they didn't know the Word. They didn't know God's power. Boy, He has raised us up, seated us in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He's going to change us. And we realize that if we're going to make it and be a victory in the Christian life, we got to know the Word and we got to know the power. The power is Jesus Christ through us, the power, Holy Spirit inside of us. We want to live our lives in that way. And then third thing, just to think about, death is not the end. He's the God of the living. And when someone dies, they're not through with. Their body may be in the ground, but their soul is somewhere. And for those who do not know Jesus Christ, they're separated from Him. Those that do know Jesus Christ, they are with Him forever. That's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 ends with a great point. It's talking about the resurrection and Christ is coming and we're all going to be together. And he ends that place in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4 by saying, so comfort one another with these great words. There is life and resurrection. May we know the power of God in Jesus Christ, knowing that death is not the end, knowing that one day God will raise the dead. May we know the Word and know His power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight and just the great things that You teach us. And we look at Jesus and how they came up to challenge Him. And they're wrong. They didn't know the Bible. They didn't know God's power. And we thank You, Lord, that You have given to us Your Word, which is the Bible, and that we can know it. And then You've given us Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that we can live out Your Word in Your power. May we do that, Lord. Thank You for a great night. Thank You for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.